see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon on this Tuesday. Part two. Here we go again. I'm going to bring up some issues today that I'm calling the Civil War setup, and actually it's connected. The Chuck Hagel boondoggle is going on with him, part of it. They're all part of this nonsense. And I found out some things about Chucky there. Hagel, I don't have respect for these people at all. You know, you love them because they're God's own, but, you know, and you can't judge anybody. But doggone it, you know, they belong to secret societies. They lie to the American people. They lie to their countrymen. Every doggone one of them, you know, that's in the CFR, they're not Americans. They're Luciferians. Or they're cowards because they take a blood oath and they're afraid to speak up when they're supposed to. That this Council of Foreign Relations are a bunch of murderers that's responsible for all the deaths of Arlington and World War II and the Korean War. You blame it on the Council of Foreign Relations and the organization. Evidence is clear. And yet they belong to these organizations. Well, I'm going to expose a lot of it today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Next Monday, next Tuesday, I'm going to continue on. To bring up exactly what these people are up to. You see. Can we judge them? No. We're all sinners in God's eyes. Until you become born again. And then it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle. Because we're in a world of flesh. We're in a world of materialistic, atheistic materialism. What drives this world. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he will fix that. And there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. That they can do to stop the return of Jesus Christ, the real one. Not the fake one that's coming soon. See, all this is set up to prepare you for the fake Jesus, the Yeshua, the one named Sananda Manuel, the one that's a fallen angel. They're setting up the false prophet to come and to be accepted and even fool the very elect. That's being set up now. And all this stuff about Chuck Hagel and the Civil War set up, family, all that's a part of it. Every bit of it is. It's very complicated. It's a complex operation. And people aren't getting the hang of this. And many Christians, those involved in this thing called Christianity, are going to be quite deceived. Being a Christian is not about Christianity at all. Being a Christian is following Jesus. That's it. About no religion, no church, no pastor, preacher, pope, rabbi, whatever, cardinal, bishop, lickety-split, whoever it is. It don't make one bit of difference. None. They're all human. They all will be judged according to God's, what he knows, which we don't. He does. He knows everything they do, every second. He knows what they're going to do before they even know they're going to do it themselves. And they think they can escape, can fool the creator of this universe. It's not going to happen. It is virtually impossible. So why do they do these things? Because they're pulled in by the material rewards they get here on earth. They sell their soul to the devil. Some of them don't know it. They're still responsible. Again, that's God's business. Our business as watchmen is to bring the truth out. And if we're wrong, then we admit it. We ask for repentance. And we fix it. But if we're right, there's quite a bit at stake here. Eternity in hell is a long time. Matter of fact, you can take off that word time. Eternity in hell is forever. But eternity in heaven is also forever. And the difference between the two is Jesus Christ, the real one, not this fake Yeshua, Yahweh, Yahuwah, whatever some of us can't even pronounce in the first place. That's all nonsense. Jesus Christ, the King James Bible, is the program. And Jesus is the modem. There you go. There is no other. It's not about any religion. Man, get out of this religion. All that is a bondage to tear you down, break you up, cause you to fight, kill, destroy. They take your money and tell you heresies, like David Pack, Carl Gallup, the whole doggone lot of them, almost all of them. Up to Copeland, Joyce Myers, Osteen, Billy Graham today now, because he came out in the 1990s. He came out as a New Ager. Oh, absolutely. The Pope. I mean, how much higher can I go? And this is with evidence, with their own words, their own mouth. The family, we got to stand up for Jesus. Not even the country. What are you talking about? Country? Stand up for Jesus. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells you right there. That is the answer, of which is not being heeded. It's going to get heeded, though. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You think for one second, even for a second, stop, it's over. Even think for one second that God's going to bless a country that has had slaves for over 200 years. You got to be kidding me. You can't be serious, Bible Belt. And to forgive a nation that's going against his laws? Homosexual marriage? Promoting promiscuity? Promoting drugs, getting ready to legalize drugs, and child euthanasia? You can't be serious. You got to be on something besides even marijuana. You got to be on some kind of hardcore drugs to even believe that God's going to bless a country and bring us back to we never have been, actually. We started off as deist with the founding fathers, man. I'm sorry, but that's what they were. Family, we've been hoodooed. But Jesus Christ is going to undo that hoodoo. When he comes back, but before he comes back, man, you got tribulations. This God's not going to let this go by. It's not going to happen. Get right with the Lord. Man, he's coming. He's coming. And everything in between, man, they can Ferguson all day long. They can CFR and say Rothschilds did this, Rothschilds did that, and Fukushima, and World War III coming, this, that, and the other, all they want. They can flu shot yourself to death, whatever. It don't matter, because those tribulations are coming. There ain't no stopping them. And when it happens, you better be right with the Lord. Because when he comes back, he's no longer an advocate. He's no longer your lawyer for free. He will be your judge. You see? Get right with him now. Don't wait. And these David Packs and all these restored Church of God or whatever, restored nonsense is what it is. Arnold Murray, the whole lot of them. They're coming. I will cover this in some of my Bible studies this week. That being born again is when Jesus Christ comes back and your body's changed. That's being born again. No, it's not. Man, that's a lie from the absolute pit of hell that this David Pack and all these other liars are coming up with. It's nonsense. Absolute, total nonsense. Gibberish. Man, you can get right with God now while you're alive, while we're being tested. This is what this is. And Arnold Murray says we're former angels. Really? Yep. They believe in mankind was formed before Adam and Eve. I don't know what Bible they're using, but it's not the King James. Family, it's time to speak up for God and Jesus Christ, the real one. Time's getting short. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and I kind of like to hit the ground running, you know. Kind of sets the stage a little bit. Because, family, I just don't think we got much time. For some people, the time runs out when they have a car accident and they die. It's too late then. For some, though, actually, it's God's business. But sometimes they may have that time when they cry out to the Lord. He'll save them. Isn't that amazing how God is? I don't know if you feel it, but I feel that Holy Spirit moving in this world now, more than ever. But you know, so does somebody else. Satan, when the Holy Spirit of God starts moving, you don't think for a second, again, that Satan's just going to sit back, well, he's coming, I guess I got to quit. No, it means he's going to increase his efforts tenfold or hundredfold or whatever you want to call it. You'll see evil like you've never seen before. You'll need God like you never had needed him before. He's there for you. And he'll forgive you for everything you've done, no matter what. Except one thing. And that's unforgiveness is for those who reject or unbelieving. That's the only unforgivable sin is to unbelieve. Equal to it was blaspheming Holy Spirit back when Jesus was on the earth. Equivalent to it today is unbelief. That's unforgivable. Others, this went too far. That's God's business, not mine. He'll set them up with a reprobate mind that they will not believe the truth because they went too far. It's in the scriptures. Look it up. Reprobate mind. For those that reject the truth over and over, he'll cause it that they will not believe, that they will reject. You do not want to be at that position. That means you've been rejected by God and there's no going back. Those are the ones at the high level causing the death of souls. Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's get moving here. Lord, we thank you today. Bring us together, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray through the Spirit of God, Father, that you bless us today. Forgive us of our sins as we lift them up to you. And Father, you hear our hearts. You see, Father, what we do. And Father, you'll guide us in the right path. We ask you, Lord, to give us that guidance. Give us that conviction that, Father, if we fall to the way, that you'll put us back on track. Lord, we pray to you that get us through this flesh, that, Father, we can see you in heaven on that day. The Father's hard back here, but, Lord, we know you've been through it too. When your Son, Jesus Christ, came on this earth to live, preach, die, and resurrected, we know he's coming back. Lord, we pray for that day to come. But, Father, in the meantime, forgive us those divine appointments, those times that we can increase our knowledge, that we can share the gospel to others. And, Lord, to lead us in the right path, that, Father, divine appointments, we can spread the gospel. We can confirm ourselves with each other. And, Lord, give us those opportunities that we can to help you, thy will be done. And, Father, we put ourselves second, put you first. Father, to expose these lies with your Holy Spirit. Expose the liars. Expose the fallen angels. Expose the satanic realm, Lord, that's working in and around the government and in and around the world scene, that, Father, we can see them for what they really are. And, Father, for those fakes and false prophets on the pulpit, that, Lord, they'll expose themselves by their own words. And, Father, to use your Holy Spirit around these congregations and the mega churches and all these, Lord, that your true gospel be spread to each one. And, Father, they'll be able to stand up for the truth. And expose these false Bibles, Lord, for what they are. And expose these false teachers. And, Lord, to expose the satanic realm, the covenants that's working within our country, within this world, so others can see. We pray for those, Father, that's the thoughts of suicide has entered their minds, that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will guide them to divine appointments, that, Father, take their minds and change their hearts away from suicide and self-destruction. We pray for children, Lord, that's being sought after, and, Father, that's being used for abductions and these satanic sacrifices, that, Lord, you'll expose these covens at the highest level. We pray, Lord, to spread the blood of Jesus around us to keep the interruptions, distractions back as we teach and preach and, Father, learn ourselves, that you'll protect us, Lord. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to let you all know, too, that my broadcast and Bible studies are also played up in another network called highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. And it's ran by John Kirkler. He plays or broadcasts his network on New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he plays our broadcast and our Bible studies randomly, not on a schedule. And so he has sponsors up there that helps keep his network going. He wants to expand. And so if you live up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, you can contact him there or at highpointradio.net or find out what his sponsors are and use them if you find it necessary. And that way, and give him some hand, give him help up there to help his network, find out what he needs. For us, he just... For me, he plays my broadcast and Bible studies. That's it. Well, family, I want to cover two major subjects today that's been going on in the news. And in doing so, it's going to encompass other areas that's going to be included. But the focus is to make some demonstration to show you some things that's going on behind the scenes, as I was talking about when I first started here a few minutes ago. And my regular listeners, bear with me. I'm going to play some videos you've heard before, probably. And just bear with me. I just have to make a case, you might say. I can't just blurt out these things and not have some evidence about it. Yeah, I just can't do it. I know that the regular listeners say, oh, he's going to play that again, but I don't know who's listening, who's not. And also, even if you're a regular listener, when I make a statement that you've not heard before, you need to be able to put it in context. You see, so that's just how I do it. You know, I mean, I can make blanketed statements and so forth, but unless you really hear it from other people on recordings that they're testimonies and so forth, it's hard to put it in its jigsaw puzzle position, you might say. So, you know, and it helps refresh anyway, whatever. You got the point. Now, it seems to be, I look for trends. I connect dots. And there is a ruthless conspiracy going on. And it is real. People try to ignore it. They want to hide from it and so forth. But there's a complex operation that's getting ready to take place. Well, it's actually taking place now. One of the techniques that they've been using for generations that they're masters of. Keep in mind, this conspiracy we're talking about is vast. I've mentioned many times before, it covers seven major areas, which I'm sure that my regular listeners have probably got memorized by now. But in fact, it covers the education, philosophy, the religions, science in its totality, arts, that includes acting, museums, dancing, TV, movies, everything that has to do with any kind of art, literally. Now, everything I'm telling you can go a step further and be proven. All the politics, that goes without saying, and finance. The finance, with all this, was designed to control the world population. It's controlled, literally, since the days of the Pharaoh until now, and will continue until Jesus Christ comes back, when the tribulations happen first, is a tribe of genetically related individuals, which includes today, tracing their bloodlines all the way back to the pharaohs of ancient Egypt, a very wealthy, politically powerful corporate elite of the world. And they're known as the Black Nobility of Europe. And their goal is to create a one-world government, strip it of its nationalistic and regional boundaries, that will be obedient to their agenda. Now, their intention is to effect complete control over every human being on the planet and dramatically, massively reduce the world's population, especially in those resource-rich, which is the United States today, but poor, also undeveloped countries like Africa, for example, was targeted. United States was targeted in the 10th century. The invasion took place in 1492. They know what they're doing for now. They manifest their agenda through skillful manipulation of human emotions, especially developing fear and anguish in the population, chaos, in order to effect order and they bring the order. Always, always, 1,000%. They always control both sides of every disagreement. Always. There is not one exception you can name, I promise you. Not one. Now, in the past century or two, they've utilized a contrivance of, well, what's characterized as what's called the Hegelian dialectic, where they present you the problem. They receive a reaction that they can anticipate. And if they can't anticipate it, which they seldom happens, they will initiate the reaction. Now listen, they'll provide the problem. They'll discuss this in circles of organization. Always have. And they'll discuss, we're going to introduce the Magna Carta. We're going to introduce the Declaration of Independence. We're going to introduce the Atlantic Charter. We're going to bring in the Federal Reserve Act. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's going to affect the change of that culture. And they discuss this decades before. And they'll decide how they're going to institute it. They're going to determine what is the most likely response to the colony, of the town, of this country, of this culture, whatever it is they're targeting. And they'll brainstorm the possible reactions. And then they'll decide what reaction they want to achieve. And they will put people in the middle, called the fifth column, that operates within the walls of the enemy and act like they're part of the enemy. But they'll make friends. They'll work. They'll integrate themselves into the culture, even marry or whatever, and then determine what the culture is like. Come back and they go back over it again, and then they'll determine how they're going to institute their plan. It's always done like this, and more complex than that. If they want to achieve a certain reaction, then those on the inside will be given instructions to promulgate that reaction. They'll form activist groups. They'll set things up, events up, and so forth. They'll do what they have to do to create and cause that reaction to go in the way they want it to. See how that works? That's how it has always worked for hundreds and hundreds of years. You say, well, how does that happen? How they do that every century? Well, because it's a family tradition that they've established, family that goes back to the pharaohs of Egypt. Queen Elizabeth II can trace her bloodline back to the pharaohs of Egypt, which were hybrids of the fallen angels and the daughters of men after the flood. And they've been doing this ever since. If they want to bring in a family, like, say, Disney, which they did, or McDonald's, which they did, or Vanderbilt, which they did, they marry a daughter or son or whatever to that other family. That bloodline links them together, and from then on, they are part of the Illuminati. Any one of them, from then on, try to get out, they will die. If they marry outside for some reason and have a child outside that bloodline, they will kill that child. Or bring that child in, depending on the position. You understand, these people don't mess around. And they're evil beyond the worst psychopath you can name in our history. Queen Elizabeth is one of the most evil women on the face of the planet. And so is most of our presidents, unfortunately, are part of this agenda. Except for the ones that they assassinated. Minus Garfield. Every single one. And there have been assassinations that's not been publicized. They use the Vatican as their enforcers. In the Vatican, you have the Jesuits. The Vatican, with the three popes, they have their own little councils, committees, and all this other little runny stuff, are controlled by the Illuminati, the Italian, the real Illuminati on the inside, are Italian, making it look like they're Jews. So we'll put the blame on the Hebrew Jews. Now, anything I can say will be grossly minimizing it, because it is so much more vast than I could even begin to describe in a two-hour program. There's no way possible. So I'm giving you kind of a taste of what humankind is dealing with today, the reality of it. Now, right now, right now, man, everybody is so focused on Ferguson. And then others are focused on Hagel. And what else they got going on? Oh, they got the snowstorm up there. They get you all busy with all kinds of other things so you cannot connect the dots. That's what this is all about. What was it some years ago? Fukushima, right? All that's part of it. Whatever happened to that? Huh? How about that? What happened? Hey, how about you up there in Montana and West Wyoming and South Dakota? How about that? Nevada, Wisconsin. What, you all have three-headed babies now? I mean, you got, you know, the radioactivity that's killing everybody in the north part of America from Fukushima. What happened? What happened to the ocean? Three-quarters of it, you know, destroyed. How, what happened to that? It just disappeared or something? I don't know what happened. Didn't it go on for a while that you have this radioactive cloud coming across? Never mind the fact that for almost a decade or more, you had 970 some odd nuclear tests in Nevada. Never mind that, of course, you know. But Fukushima was hot there for a while, no pun intended. What happened to that? It's gone. They used it all up. Now they got something else. Each time they got something else, something else, something else, something else. Every time, man, people buy off on it, hook, line, and sneaker. Every time. It's a Bundy Ranch, boondoggle, Ferguson. Now they got something going on in New York and another shooting and testing your apathy, testing your where you are. I'm going to explain this in a minute, a little later. Where are we on this, an eight-step program? Are you apathetic enough that we can launch the New World Order? We don't know. They're saying. They're trying to test and see is what you're made of. To test and see if you're in the apathetic level that they want you at. So they instigate these dialectics, as I'm trying to explain. This is planned at CFR. Trilateral Commission. You hear these names over and over. Gorbachev Foundation, United Nations at the highest level. Royal Institute of International Affairs. Even Canada has one. Matter of fact, every nation has one. Illuminati, that's called International Affairs. That's Illuminati. Get with it. Most of your military leaders today are involved in this, pretending to be patriots. Once it's not, just do their job and stay alive and protect their troops, and they don't never ask questions. Freemasons, you're being used as foot soldiers. Blue Lodge, you don't have a clue. They make you think you do because all these secrets they give you, which are worthless, to keep you entrapped with that blood oath that you take. How come you can't tell your family about that blood oath? I mean, you should never have secrets with your wife. Never. Yet you have secrets with your wife that comes from a lodge that you can't tell. Do you think that helps your family situation when you have secrets of where you go, what you do at the lodge, and you can't tell anybody? They're counting on it destroying the family. That's why Freemasons try to get their children involved and their wife and each a star so they can make them privy to the Freemasonry secrets and all that stuff to pull you in. It's all set up. That's how they want it. How far are y'all going to let this go? How far are you going to let it go before they pull the carpet on you? Because they will kill every Freemason. That is documented. I'm trying to warn y'all. Chapter 15 of the Protocols says they will kill every Freemason. They won't need you anymore once they have control of the New World Order. They do not want secret societies existing anymore. Why would they? If they have control, now you're a threat to them. And you know you lie when you take that blood oath. So if you're an organization that lies under an oath to God to lie, there's got to be something wrong with that. You know, really, it's got to be wrong. And if they do these things to other people, you think they're going to give you an escape on this? What if the Holy Spirit beckons you, convicts you, and you go against your oath and you denounce it, which you can do? You're no longer under it. What do you think they're going to do to you? They're going to cut you off like a leaky faucet. Now, is that an organization you want to belong to? That will turn their back on you in your time of need or in your time that you want to do the right thing? Because they will do it. I can tell you exactly how they do it, too. I got a thesis on that. It's long. It's like 3 pages long of what they can do to ruin a person. Why would they want to do that if they're an honorable organization? You better ask these questions. Get back to your family. Renounce that blood oath and get out of there. Oh, you might lose your job and you might miss that contract and all that, but you'll keep your soul. This New World Order goes back to the Pharaohs. Well, here's the deal. They come up with the problem, the solution, the problem, they anticipate the reaction, or they initiate the reaction, or they guide the reaction the way they want it, whatever. And they have the solution. It always, always, always works that way. Never has there ever been an exception to that. They create the problem by funding, assembling, training, and opposition. That's where Al-Qaeda was trained by our own CIA. Always has been. Al-Qaeda is CIA, Mossad, MI5, MI6, ISI. It's a fictitious name. So is ISIS. They're lying to you, troops. They're lying to you. They create the conflict. Whatever power they wish to impede upon, because they won't take the loans. They won't do as they say because they put a leader in there that decides to do the will of the people. They're going to take him out. So they vilify them, make him look evil. And some of them are evil, but they use that as justification to take him out, to put a puppet inside. That's how they do it. I know one such because I was up nose to nose, actually literally, with when I was in Kosovo with the KLA, Kosovo Liberation Army. I, in fact, have myself surrounded, myself and a Russian lieutenant and a Greek democratization officer with OSCE. We were surrounded by 7. One time, we kind of went a little further than we should have. Got a little bit of trouble, but I've been in the middle of it in Kosovo. I know that the NLA and the KLA were working together. I know for a fact. I know we both trained both sides. MPRI, an American group, advisors as retired military personnel working for the CIA, a group that's like sistered or connected to the CIA, but they're MPRI. I worked with them in Congo. I didn't work with them in Kosovo, but I saw them. I knew them. So I know about that. The leader of the established political power is demonized of whatever country it may be, referred to as another Hitler. They always use that. Just take a pick. Saddam Hussein. There's another Saddam Hussein. He's another Milosevic. Milosevic, Saddam Hussein, were Freemasons. Gaddafi was a Freemason. Oh, as you know that. Castro was 7 years Jesuit. Yes, he was, before he became dictator. They took out Baptista. Well, Castro was 7 year Jesuit, trained. Jesuit Castro. And you know, the strategists of the New World Order were also involved in arming and advising the leader of any established power at the same time. The conflict is always drawn to the world stage by some major media outlet that's controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations or Chatham House in Europe or whatever they are. They have a barrage of photos, videotape reports of horrific and bloody atrocities and suffering civilians. I know for a fact that in Kosovo and Bosnia, I got the actual tape showing where the UN had lied about the so-called concentration camps in Bosnia, Croatia. I got another documentary from Honest journalist. I've got the actual photos, actual interviews, watching the UN falsify the location of the so-called Bosnian Muslims that were being put into concentration camps, showing that they had come inside of a storage area. The UN group had put themselves inside the storage area, and then outside filming it, make it look like that outside was really inside of a concentration camp. I got the actual footage of that. You can tell by how they have nailed the fences to the poles. It's not correct. So what the UN did, they went inside the fenced-in storage area and filmed inside to outside and made it look like that it was a concentration camp when people come up to, like, what are y'all doing in there? You know, why do y'all got yourself all wrapped up here in this fenced-in area that's a storage area? And then they turned it all around and made it look like that the ones on the outside checking out these doofuses inside the storage place were actually in the concentration camp. I got the actual footage. You won't find anywhere. I got that. And it proves it. It's how they do this. This is a reality. Like Srebrenica was a falsehood too. 8,000 people died? Yeah. But they were all combatants. That's what you do in a war, you know. So then here comes the cry. Something's got to be done. That was Kosovo. That was Hillary and Clinton. And that's the desired reaction they produce. So the New World Order puppeteers then provide a solution by sending in UN peacekeepers in Bosnia, UN coalition forces, like the Gulf War, NATO bombers and ground troops in Yugoslavia. Here we go. Now, it is dominated by international bankers, but they're nothing but puppets. They don't control anything. They're told how to control the money, but they don't actually do it. They're not the orchestrators. They're the little puppets. That's all they are. The ones that the blame's going to, and should be, but they're not the ones pulling the strings. The Italian Illuminati's doing that. The IMF. They're the fall guys. They get too feisty? No problem. They just take them out. A Learjet goes down. Piper Cub carrying a president or vice president goes down. Or a son of one of them dies by accident. That's how it really works. Then secondarily, the pharmaceutical cartels and the other multinational corporations, the royal family of England, the House of Windsor, they're the descendants of the German army or arm of the European royalty that traces back to the pharaohs. They appear to be the head of the tribe, but if you look further and deeper into it, you find the Italian Breakspear, Medici, Aldo Brandina, Chagi, Medici, Orsini, 13 of them total. They appear to be the head, the Queen Elizabeth House of Windsor group. They're the outer portico. But they by no means make all the decisions connected with this vast web of influence and the intrigue exerted by these secretive elites. Queen Elizabeth II, who, by the way, was second cousin, she married Philip, her second cousin. Oh, yuck. Anyway, her other second cousins were Stalin, Churchill, and Adolf Hitler. They were all second cousins under the Rothschild demon seed. And Queen Elizabeth II sits at the head of the organization known as the Committee of the 300. It's a planning committee of elites that plan, decide what will be written in the world's history books. The Club of Rome, another roundtable group like the Bilderberger Club of Rome. They are concerned with depopulation, as I've mentioned a little while ago. You know, the murdering of millions? That's all. It's one of the most powerful implementation and enforcement arms working under the Committee of the 300. Yet the United Nations, the World Health Organization, in there to do the killing, the lying. Your major industrial countries like the United States, which is a colony of England today, England, Germany, Italy, Australia, New Zealand, they're all active and fully cooperative participants in this conspiracy. And you know, in this century, the degree of control that's exerted by the New World Order has advanced to the point that only certain hand-picked individuals who are groomed from childhood are even eligible to become the prime minister or president of a country like Great Britain or the United States. They're always appointed, never elected. So all you folks go out there and you spend all that money, hotels, and you collect those little, the little badges. I attended the, 2016 convention of whatever, or 2012 convention, and I was there in 1974 kind of thing, and you keep them, oh, that's my, look at that little emblem there, and that I was there in 1973, and all that stuff. It doesn't mean a thing. Because as I've proven last week, the elections are all forged and faked by computer. And even before that, they were always miscounted on purpose. Family, even FDR, that Illuminati member named FDR that planned Pearl Harbor with Churchill, that FDR says that the presidents are not elected, they're appointed. It's always been that way, you see. So if you go to the convention, it's for nothing but a party. That's all. Because you accomplished nothing. The president's already been chosen. They just haven't told you yet. Well, that's a fact. Now, since computers came into the picture, it's been on testimony that they have a program that falsifies the results. So what they do is they demonize the next or the last president. In other words, Bush was told in the second term to act stupid. And the thing to demonize Bill Clinton, and he knew it, and he played along with Lewinsky, was that. So when the elections are turned, it looks like you really voted for the right one, when actually you're being manipulated again. Why do you think Lewinsky lived? You know how many people they murdered during the time of Clinton's administration in Arkansas? So that nothing would be said about him and when the CIA brought the drugs into Little Rock, as it did in Texas and other places. They murdered 70, 80 people. There's a list of names of those that had some either seen by accident, the CIA operations or drugs that could be linked up to the governorship of Arkansas. And when Clinton was governor there, how many people the police murdered? You have any idea? And then when he gets into play and he does his term and he uses that liar and Rhodes Scholar, Wesley Powderpuff Clark, who tried to start World War III in June 1999, that's the very one. Their role in their administration was to falsely enter Kosovo. Working with Bush, Bosnia, Croatia. That was their role. It's disgusting. But that's the way the secret societies operate for now. Pile up the bodies. Pretend like they're good guys. Pretend like they're Christians. Jimmy Carter's no Christian. He's a Luciferian. Evil to the core. Absolutely. Same thing as Clinton and Bush and all the rest of them. Democrat, Republican means absolutely nothing. Family, Jesus Christ means everything. What I'm trying to do today and other days is show you how this really operates. Because I don't belong to anybody. I hardly ever sign petitions. I don't put my name to anything. I'm going to keep myself away from as much as I can and stay closer to Jesus as I can ever get. I stand for Jesus, not even the country. I stand for Jesus Christ. That's it. I draw the line. Now, you may like that. You may not. I don't know. Whatever. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned with is to tell the truth. I've not always been this way. I've told my quota of lies. I've cheated before. I'm sorry for it. But I repented of that, and now I'm going on the offensive. So, and what I'm saying, it really didn't matter, for example, whether Bill Clinton or Bob Dole won the presidency in 1996. The results would always be the same, except maybe for a little Zippergate. Yeah. Both men are playing on the same team for the same ball club. Every one of them are. Kerry and Bush are cousins. Romney's a doggone cousin. That's all he is another cousin of the royalty families. That's all he is. He don't give a hoot about the Mormons. He's using that to damn their souls to hell. He's using that, just like all the rest of them are, to put themselves in position and power. Every single one of them. And they use the people under them as stepping stones, and they'll throw them away just like a used wrapper of a candy bar or something, and just throw it away. That's how these people are. They pretend, like Huckabee and all the rest of them, they pretend to be Christians, and they're absolutely not. They're good at it. Really, real good at it, too. I'm laying the groundwork, family. I'm laying the groundwork. Another few minutes, and I want to move on to something else that's going to show you evidence. Kerry and Bush were both members of the Skull and Bones. They're cousins. That's all they are. Nothing more, mere cousins of the same satanic bloodline. Anybody who's not a team player, they're taken out. President Kennedy, Benazir Bhutto, Aldo Moro in Italy, Congress Lady Schaefer, Aaron Russo, JFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy, Barry Jennings. Man, and so they take people out that's either significant, they've taken a blood oath before and they're going against them, they can't control them anymore, they take them out. So now those that come out and expose the world order and nothing happens to them, they're doing it for a reason. I'm leading up to it. Don't forget that. Most all the major wars, political upheavals, economic depressions, recessions, inflationary periods of the 20th century after 1913 have all been every single one, no exception, Harvard professor of economics, whoever you might be, I don't care, or Stanford, or Yale, or, man, just pick one out of a hat. The real economic situation is all major wars, all political upheavals, all economic depression, recession, inflationary periods of the 20th century, and even before that, were carefully planned, instigated, and by the machinations of these elite. Every single one. They plan the history, conduct it, and then report it falsely and put it in history books. That's a fact. This includes World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, the Bolshevik Revolution, funded by the Wall Street, 1917, rise of Nazi Germany, funded by Wall Street, 1927. Yeah, buddy, it was. Through IG Farben Chemical Cartel, they were funded. Yes, they were. The Vietnam War, Korean War, 1991 Gulf War, and the war in Kosovo. Every single one for a particular reason. A trumped up war is a cover for amassing fortunes, depopulation, political maneuvering. It can be dated back to the 12th century You know, at that point in the 12th century, in the 1100s A.D., there's a corps of 9 members of secret society arm of the elite called the Knights Templar. They kicked off the Crusades that lasted for over half a century. You know about that, right? The Crusades? King of France was a little leery that the Knights Templar might take his job, so he set out to arrest them, but not before giving them plenty of time to escape. Listen now, listen carefully, because they eventually resurfaced in Portugal and Malta as the Knights of Malta. And in Scotland as the Scottish Rites of Freemasonry. You know how far back you can trace the real craft of Freemasonry? Nimrod, the first Antichrist. Now, some of y'all that know a little bit about this or have any idea what I'm talking about, your jaw should be dropping about now. Do not forget what I've said so far, because you're going to hear it again here shortly. And so this acquisition and consolidating the ever greater wealth and political power and control over others are really the motivating forces that keep these people stupid into a agenda that's going to fail when Jesus Christ lets that first seal get broken. Then begin 7 years of taking down what's taken them centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, going back to the Nimrod, to set up will be taken down in 7 years. And there's nothing they can do about it. Nothing whatsoever they can do to stop it. The toll in human suffering and loss of innocent lives is a non-issue for these people in these secret societies, because only they have is their own skins that they're worried about. They're aligned with the very dark spiritual forces and malevolent fallen angels that are masquerading as aliens. There's no aliens. The Ascended Masters is another masquerade. I call it Halloween on steroids, 24/7. We're at war with principalities and powers of darkness. That's what we're talking about here. So what are these, real quickly, in conclusion of my introduction, the organizational and political elements of the New World Order, Majesty 12, the Illuminati. You know, this is too funny. The Illuminati now actually have a website. They've been secret for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? Thousands of years. They've been here doing all this stuff. Now they got a website. Imagine that. Why do they want to put a website? Is it because they want you to know who they are? That be it. They want you to know who they are. That's key. They want you to know the bankers. They want you to know they're connected to the bankers. They want you to know that they're evil. I smell a dialectic coming our way. You got Order of the Quest, the Bilderberg. I told someone the other day, I was at a restaurant, and I said, "Is it Bilderberg?" He said, "Yeah, you can do it." Started laughing. I said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "I'm talking about the Bilderberger. Yeah, you can build your own burger, right?" "No, no, never mind. I'm not kidding you. I'm not joking." It was had a restaurant I went to where you had all these ingredients, and you can say, "I want that, that, and that on my burger." And it says on the menu, "Build your own burger." I said, "That is a private joke." And they never did catch it. I said, "A Bilderberger." "Yeah, you can." I said, "Okay." The Trilateral Commission, the Executive Committee of the Council of Foreign Relations. You know the people in there? That don't get crazy on your neighbor because they're a member of the CFR, because they don't have a clue. If you were to tell them what I'm telling you now, they'd think you've gone crazy. The highest level of CFR are the evil ones I'm speaking of. The ones below there that just go work daily, they don't have a clue, man. They have no idea what they're working with. The PI-40 committee, P-140, P-I-40, the Jason Group, Club of Rome, The Group, the Royal Institute of National Affairs in London, the Open Friendly Secret Society, what a bunch of nonsense, the Rosicrucians, which would include Ron Paul, all the rest of them, every doggone one of them. Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Mason. He was funded by the Rockefellers in 1949, 1952. He was funded through the Laura Spelman Memorial Fund. Billy Graham was. He had to play the part for 40 years. A Jesuit, too, he is. The Brotherhood of the Dragon or Snake. You heard about that stuff through Forford, another controlled opposition. The Russell Trust. The Black Families of Europe. And we're talking satanic. We're not talking racial colors here, whatever. Skull and Bones, The Scroll and Key, Knights of Malta, Evil to the Absolute Core. The Illuminati arm of the Freemasons. Freemasons, you don't have a clue what you're involved in. You have no idea. Same thing with CFR. They're members, but they don't know what the highest level are doing. And the studies you give them, CFR, they're using to kill you with. And Freemasons at the first, second, third degree, they're using you to destroy other people. And they make it look good because you go to hospitals, you do the right thing, and you know all this good deeds, but that doesn't count. That's to hide what really goes on at the highest level. I've only briefly touched the groups here. Only the upper elite at the top of these pyramidal structures are the New World Order decision makers. They're not the lower echelon functionaries or managers. They're in the dark about the true aims of the organization of which they work with. They don't know. So they're going to get slammed for not knowing. You are responsible to know. Not knowing is not going to get it. Okay. I have not even given it credit. I haven't even given it the list of it is massive, and they've meant it that way, to where you can't keep track of it, where you get too tired. Just wear my karma out, man. You know, they want you to feel that way. Drop your hands in total helplessness is how they want you to be. They've orchestrated this all along. Now, my bringing all this up is so they will understand what they're in. The ones at lower level, so you'll understand how you're being fooled working for this Illuminati. And if you're not bloodline, you're on their hit list. You're on their hit list. And they'll make it look like you're not. That you're just a good old Joe. We invite you over to our barbecues and, man, you're part of it. You're part of it. Well, they're lying to you, too. Because you're not part of it. Now, I've laid a little bit of the groundwork, if you've been listening to me now for the past hour. And I'm going to let you hear some other folks. First, I want to introduce that. As I'm going along here, because I'm not real sure what's going to fall out of my mouth today, because none of this is planned. I'm going with the program, as God put it in my heart to tell you. And that's how I do it always. I'm doing it again today. I don't follow by no script. I literally let the Holy Spirit guide me. And I put it together like laying a track while the train's coming. What I want to talk about today was about you had Hegel. Hegel warned, according to the articles I'm getting, Hegel warned of rogue New World Order. Now he's fired. Okay. And then articles came out, he was going to replace Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense. Michelle Flournoy, Robert Work, or Ashton Carter. leading candidates? Can a woman do the same job as a man at the Secretary of Defense? Well, I personally don't care one way or the other. But, you know, I don't have it either. I don't care what they do. What I care about is the return of Jesus. That's all I'm looking at. But I can put a woman there. I can put Timbuktu, Elmer Fudd there. Don't make a lick of difference. Because family, the Secretary of Defense, they all work together with every Russian, Chinese. Don't make one lick of difference at the highest level. They work together, making it look like they're going to war with each other. It's a lie. Okay? So they make it look like we're at war with China and Russia could possibly come in. It's just absolutely disgusting how the news media thinks we're that stupid. But then again, they fooled us all this time since the 1700s. Doing it again with the Hegelian dialectic. Now, I've explained that now so I can use the terms. If you don't know the terms, you go back to the first hour when I started. I laid the groundwork. Military coup versus Obama soon. Benjamin Fulford. He works for Rockefellers. He's another boob. You know, they pretend like they're on our side, like Lindsey Williams, all the rest of them. They're not whatsoever. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They do it in such a way to make you feel helpless or to lead you down the wrong path. So I'll tell you some truth and then even 80, 90% truth to hook you. Then I'll lie to you the last 10 or 20%. That's how they do it. They do that in news media, Operation Mockingbird. They put the opposition pretending to be on your side, and they're not. It's the bankers that's doing it. The bankers, let's get rid of the bankers. No, it's not. The bankers are controlled by the Illuminati, the Italians in the middle, the Vatican, those murderers, and Council of Foreign Relations. Now you're talking some. But you're blaming the bankers. So you get rid of the bankers. It's the Jews, man. It's those darn Jews. Well, if you get rid of the Jews, what are you going to do about it? You going to go after every Jew with the last name of a Jew name? What about the Italians? What about the Scotch Irish? How about the Irish that controls the money to the Knights Templar? For the Knights of Malta? Now you get somewhere. Now you're talking. So what about the Irish? You going to kill the Irish too? After you get done with the Jews? Who's they going to kill who? It's those darn Jews doing it. Really? Now, so what are you going to do about it? That's what I told some folks the other day. Tom, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, why? It's a Jews conspiracy. I said, really? You're going to keep on promoting the Christian identity, wackos. Okay, it's a Jew conspiracy. Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're just going to sit there and blah, 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 Jewish conspiracy and go back to your business and go fishing somewhere? What are you going to do about it? You're going to take out all the Jews, your neighbor? Maybe it's a Jew. What are you going to do? Go out there and kill him, burn his house down? What are you going to do? Instead of running your mouth saying it's Jews. How stupid can you get? So you're going to go out and kill all the Jews. That's called Inquisition, I think, isn't it? Didn't Hitler do that? Sure did. So we're going back to that now? Oh, okay, let's say that they go out there and they arrest all the Jews. That's so silly. Anyway, so now what about the Irish who controls the money, Knights Templar? What are we going to do about going to get all the Irish? You got to get the Irish last names now. Then what are you going to do with the Italians? You going to kill them too? That control the Illuminati? And how are you going to get to the Breakspear location in Medici? You got a lot of work to do, militia. Yeah, buddy. You got a lot of work. Medici, the Chagis, you want to get all the names? Go find them. You can find them, you know, and you can go chase down and go over to Europe. He's going to pay you a plane ticket and boat ticket. How are you going to do this? No, they just run their mouth is all. The others just following along like they'll accomplish nothing. In the meantime, the Illuminati is working on destruction of America, destruction of the world, and bringing it to a Luciferian agenda, and you'll just love it every minute. That's what they're working on. You want that to happen? So they got you chasing your tail after Jews, after bankers, after all this other. Second Chronicles 7:14. Goes right back to it. So Hegel warns of a rogue New World Order, and they fire him. They fired him. I did a little checking. Did you know? I got it right here. And Who's Who, the Elite, members of the Bilderberger Council of Foreign Relations Trilateral Commission by Robert Ross. And then, of course, you have other, there's other sources as well. Chuck Hagel is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's a member of the Illuminati. Chuck Hagel is a member of the Illuminati. He's warning us of the New World Order. What did he wait so long for? Well, JFK warned us. He is murdered by them. Aaron Russo warned us. He is given cancer. Bill Cooper is warning all along. Murdered him. Nancy Schaefer was going to take down the ill-fated, ill-conceived Child Protective Service. She died by murder-suicide from her husband. Can't decide whether he shot himself in the head or the chest, though. She's also going to help take down the North American Union that was coming yet to happen. She is murdered by them. Barry Jennings was murdered by them. Malcolm X was murdered by them. Martin Luther King was murdered by them. JFK, Bobby Kennedy. Lincoln was murdered by them when the Jesuits helped push our Civil War, resulting in the largest death toll of American soldiers ever in any war. We're fighting ourselves. How stupid is that? Fighting ourselves. It was organized, orchestrated through the Jesuits. Yeah. Yeah. Still letting it happen. Still chasing our tails. So now Hegel warns of a new world order. Well, let's see. I'm probably going to go to part two tomorrow. I see that happening. But how about this? Check this out. Now that I've given you some terminologies, I'm going to rest for a while here and let you listen to an interview. Listen carefully at what's being said. Back in the 1980s. And know that Tom Braden, that wacko, was a Knights of Malta member. And Patrick Buchanan, a Luciferian like his cohort Clinton. But Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. Another liar like Wesley Clark that takes a blood oath against Americans and against God. They're Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars, all the same. Well, Tom Braden is a Rhodes Knights of Malta. Now you know where it comes from. And Pat Buchanan is a Knights of Malta. That goes along with his Luciferian membership. And they're interviewing Larry McDonald, who, by the way, was on KAL 007 some months after this interview. The Russians took down the entire darn plane. They murdered every single one of those passengers in one story. Another story, they took the plane and either killed the passengers later and then put McDonald in a, Larry McDonald in a prison where he's there today. Either way, whether actually they did claim they shot it down with a missile. They thought it was a spy plane. The other story goes that they said they shot it down, but they took the plane, made it land in Russia, and then they made them all disappear. Either way, he disappeared. That's the bottom line. The Russians claim officially they shot it down because they made a mistake. McDonald wasn't allowed to retire. Bill Cooper wasn't allowed to retire. Nancy Schaefer wasn't allowed to retire. Aaron Russo wasn't allowed to retire. David Wilkerson wasn't allowed to retire or to stop. They're all murdered by the people I'm talking about right now. Well, you see, Larry McDonald was exposing this New World Order, but it was too soon. Uh-oh. And they didn't have control of him. So they had to kill him. And they did in a big way. So the point of the matter is, the extremes they go to silence someone they don't want to be talking. And yet Hegel is allowed to retire. You got to be kidding me. Is it maybe because they want to expose it, so when they do take it down, they replace it with a benevolent organization or military coup? That you'll see the evil was taken down and the good is replacing it? Yeah, that's the lie that's coming. As I said a little while ago, they control both sides every time. So now listen to this interview by two Knights of Malta against Larry McDonald. And man, he fends them right off, Mitt. They look like a bunch of boobs, both Buchanan and Tom Braden, or Pat Braden, whatever. It's all the same nonsense. It just, the secret society is, man, disgusting. But here we go. Let's see what they got to say. This is 1980s.
It's a pretty important quotation.
It's all right. It was made in a pamphlet by a fellow who later headed up a society.
That's Buchanan.
Let's say it was
not
a
later,
dumb,
right then.
A dumb statement. The first society was formed in 58. Why are you all now, the John Birch Society, still answering for a statement like that? Why didn't the Birch Society say, look, our founder made an asinine statement, we don't pay any attention to it, and go on to the future? Why is the John Birch Society, in his phrase, now considered by an awful lot of people who will say, okay, Jerry Falwell, moral majority, new rightists, okay, don't like him. But all of a sudden, when you mention the Birch Society, everybody recoils. Why
is
that?
The reason is, Tom, of course, we haven't gotten into what the society is. Instead, we have tried to, it's a sort of a classic effort of a straw man that's thrown up where the society never took a position. The society never stated anything about Eisenhower one way or the other. It was never a position of the society.
Was it a problem for the society that its head for 25 years was the man who had made that statement, and his head is not that now?
Well, part of the problem is, Tom, Pat, the actual statement has not been quoted.
Uh-huh.
And if anyone wants to take the time to read the politician with the footnotes, they may read it and judge for themselves. But that's not a position one way or the other of the society. And, of course, another small problem is that Mr. Welch did not resign. Actually, this was a move of transition of leadership, of which he was one of the individuals in actively making the transition. He has emerged as a chairman emeritus.
Were you hurt then? I mean, I want to get to the point why the John Birch Society is differentiated from other new right organizations. You can say Conservative Caucus or NCPAC or Conservative Digest, and people say yes, no, yes, no. But you say the Birch Society, and there's a recoil. Even among conservatives who will say, no, don't call me a member of the Birch Society. Now, why is that? Is that partly due to the fact that Bill Buckley's National Review, I think around 1964, read the Birch Society out of the conservative movement? Have you recovered from that?
Well, I think Bill Buckley founded ACU in 65 partly to do that. Elements within National Review have also, beginning in 65, I think very dishonestly, took a very strong tack against the society. The society would actually be termed more of the old right. I think the definition of the new right would be vigorous and post-vigorous.
Okay, but why? I mean, I don't know where you disagree with the new right people, but why are you all, why do you carry around this tarnish, this taint?
Well, let me give you another reason why you carry around
this. It's Tom Braden speaking now.
Mr. Welch. The reason is because the society is the only organization in America that is organized at the grassroots level.
That's McDonald.
Coordinators with chapters in the communities all across the country.
Conservative Caucus.
Not with chapters, not with a paid field staff all across the
country.
But
that's organization.
And so the result is that this is the one group, I think, that those who would radically change America seriously fear. And a tremendous campaign was launched in December of 1960.
Right.
To move to discredit the John Birch Society and, frankly, launched initially on orders coming out of Moscow.
Well, Mr. McDonald, I'm not a conspirator.
Tom Braden.
I think even Buchanan would
say that.
Well, Robert Welch.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Is that a conspiracy?
Let
me just tell you what Newsweek says this. The John Birch Society considers communism only one arm of a master conspiracy in which socialist American insiders are plotting to establish world government. Now, it also says, and here's Director Don McManus, that's your public relations director, saying that former Secretary of State Alexander Haig and CIA Director William Casey are two of these master conspirators who are plotting to establish world government. Now, what do you say? You know, that kind of silly, asinine statement is what makes makes people laugh at the John Birch Society.
Well, Tom, I'm sure being a longstanding member of the Rockefeller apparatus, and as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations of longstanding, you're fully aware that there is an elitist core in this country that has seen value in subsidizing communism, of protecting communism.
It has?
Sure.
You're accusing me of subsidizing communism?
No, I'm saying
because
that
because I happen to belong to a
there is an elite
policy
core.
Study
now,
group?
No, wait a minute. There is an elite core in this country that has dominated American society.
Well, I'm not one of them.
Trilateral Commission.
The Trilateral Commission. Council on Foreign Relations.
State Department, I suppose.
Well, let's face it. They have dominated the State Department for 40 years, and pretty much openly
All right, but what are they trying to do?
Well, their objective is to try to bring about a gradual transition in our society, a dissolving of sovereignty, and a moving steadily to the left on the political spectrum.
Well, who are they?
The elitist groups that I mentioned, particularly key individuals and policymakers in the Council on Foreign Relations.
Is the International Monetary Fund part of this?
Well, I would say the International Monetary Fund has certainly been set up for the purpose of facilitating that transfer of sovereignty and transfer of wealth on the road.
All right, we elected Mr. Conservative.
Let me just finish the point, because otherwise we're going to have a lot of unanswered questions, that you are looking at a group that has worked to bring about the dissolution of national sovereignties on the road to world government. And certainly you're familiar with local professor Carol Quigley, who has been part of your club, in which he admitted all this. And he said in his book, Tragedy and Hope, the only thing I disagree is that we've worked to keep it a secret. And you see Arthur Schlesinger Jr. writing way back in 1947, says, yes, this is the hidden policy of America. But we can't tell the American public because they're too unsophisticated to see the value.
What is the instrumentality of world government? What is the instrumentality?
Of all the things to say about Arthur Schlesinger, that's the silliest statement I ever heard. He never made anything like that.
Well, let me suggest that you read the May-June issue of the Partisan Review of 1947, Tom, and you can read it for yourself. It's called
Schlesinger
Manifesto.
Arthur Schlesinger said there was a conspiracy. A conspiracy to promote communism?
Oh, no, he didn't use the word conspiracy. He said the objective
was to bring
about... Let me finish. I'll tell you. He said that the objective, the secret policy, which we can't tell the American public because they're not sophisticated enough to see the value, is that through a steady result of erosion of new deals, we bring the American society steadily to the left.
All right.
And through a sound concept of benign containment, we merge into the vital center of the socialist left. Those are his words, not mine.
You think John Kennedy was a member of that conspiracy?
No, let me ask you this. The world federalist movement in the post-war era contained a lot of people who eventually broke with it, and a lot of people thought the U.N. in the post-war era looked toward world government.
Sure.
Indeed, they did, up until 48, 49. But a lot of them said, look, we were utopian. That's over and done with. We can't move. And a lot of them came in Kennedy's government. Schlesinger was in there when they were fighting in Vietnam, launched the effort in Vietnam. Schlesinger was behind the Bay of Pigs. In other words, look, isn't there some move that occurred in the post-war era that now has been dissipated because nobody believes in the utopian ideal of world government anymore?
Well, I think there are those that realize that moving straight from a prototype of the United Nations into world government perhaps is tactically impossible. But phasing out increasingly national sovereignty into regional government and phasing out sovereignties into international treaties in multiple areas
could
be a route.
The whole movement toward, quote, interdependence.
Yes.
NATO is part of the conspiracy?
Well, there are certainly elements in NATO. There are people in NATO who are very strongly dedicated to the defense of the West. But at the same time, you find in NATO a steady dissolution. You find a growing weakness as a NATO policy dominated by State Department policies that has not worked.
Well, it's a regional grouping, and I think, therefore, it may be suspect by the John Birch Society.
We're talking with Congressman Larry McDonnell, who has recently been elevated, I guess, the chairmanship of the John Birch Society, succeeding Robert Welch. We'll be back in a minute.
This is on Crossfire, back in the 80s.
Welcome back to Crossfire. Our guest is the new chairman, recently named chairman, of the John Birch Society, Congressman Larry McDonald, a Democrat from Georgia. Mr. McDonald, your predecessor believed that the PTA was too left-wing and that and the John Birch Society at one time tried to infiltrate it, or so he said. He used the word infiltrate. Are you still, is that part of your program now?
Well, I think when the PTA comes out in this program for the test ban treaty and when the PTA comes out for gun control and comes out for obviously national legislative programs that have been linked with liberaldom, having nothing to do with education of our children. I think many people are wondering, what in the world is the PTA doing? And that includes members of the John Birch Society.
Well, I wonder about you. I wonder about you. I looked you up. You're the biggest joiner that I've ever seen in the world. You belong, as I counted them, to 67 organizations, among which are the National Rifle Association, the American Pistol and Revolver Association, the Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, the Second Amendment Foundation, and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms.
Well, Tom, I think there's a real drive in this country to try to destroy the realization of our citizens that they have a fundamental constitutional right to keep and bear arms as the Constitution allows. And unfortunately, there are those in our society, including elements of the PTA nationally, not always locally by any stretch, but nationally, who would believe that the federal government should restrict the right of citizens to keep and bear arms.
Can I get back to that?
What kind of grades do you give Ronald Reagan as president? And what kind of grades does the John Birch Society give him?
Well, I would say in his speeches, Pat, you'd have to give him close to an A, B plus to an A. But in his performance,
what's
somewhere,
most disappointing?
Well, I think the fact that the rhetoric is going one way and the record is going another.
Let me ask you about this conspiracy again.
Well, you can take the issue of one of the major problems of this country is inflation,
right,
and the problems of the destruction of the dollar. And the fact of the matter is, in spite of promises of the contrary, Reagan has not moved to correct the deficiencies. We're now back to Keynesian economics despite comments to the contrary.
Do you think that's a result of the conspiracy you mentioned? Is there somebody working on him to get the inflation so that this country will be weakened?
Well, as a man who campaigned against elitism, as a man who in his campaign rhetoric said that he would not be having the Council on Foreign Relations trilateral types dominating his cabinet, he's got about 250 members of such in his administration.
Well, let me ask you about Bill Casey. Now, I've known Bill.
250 members.
I've known,
well, of the trilateral committee.
I've known Bill Casey
in the administration.
I've known Bill Casey, the director of CIA, since World War II. As a matter of fact, in World War II, he was my boss. Now, you're a public relations director of the John Birch Society, says that Bill Casey is a part of this conspiracy that's trying to bring about world government.
Before he became CIA, one of his big jobs was aiding in the transfer of technology and goods and so forth to the Soviet Union, helping the Camera River Project, the Export-Import Bank.
Oh,
helping to finance
is the Export-Import Bank part of the conspiracy?
I think the fact that the American people have been tapped steadily, especially since World War II, to finance their enemies and to have the massive technology transfer to those who
I agree with you.
You know that from the Braden Doctrine in the agency, which you're very familiar with, and the feeling that we must somehow subsidize the, quote, non-communist left. That's among our so-called allies.
Braden was
and in country after country, that turned out to be the communists,
mm-hmm,
the crypto-communists masquerading
as
the non-communists.
Yeah, that's Mr. Mitterrand, who has taken the strongest position against the Russians of any Western European
leader. Well, he was about to lose everything at the polls, and he had to show some sign. It's very difficult to say exactly how far that will
Congressman
be.
Congressman McDonnell, he's been using the term conspiracy.
No, I didn't use it. For heaven's sakes, Pat. The John Birch Society used it.
I don't want to go through the tapes.
Well, it is. Don't blame it on me. He used it.
You've used it 45 times.
That's right. They say this is a conspiracy. I want to know what the conspiracy is. I'm trying to find out who's in it and what agencies of government in it, because I want to fight it along with you.
You look like...
Great, Tom. Let me tell you, Tom.
You tell me. How can I...
Okay, I'm going to let it continue, but you see how these two people lie? Tom Braden and Pat Buchanan are members of the Knights of Malta. They know exactly about the conspiracy. And they're trying their darndest on national TV in Crossfire to dissuade and to discredit Larry McDonald, and they are failing miserably. They're stumbling all over themselves. They're lying right on public TV. And this is how they do it. Because both Braden and Pat Buchanan are Knights of Malta. Just like Rick Joyner and Jerry Boykin. Just like Wesley Clark, Rhodes Scholar, same thing. And Clinton, Rhodes Scholars. All those, every single one is a Rhodes Scholar, are part of this conspiracy. I'm going to let it continue because it gets real interesting, and then I'm going to go to another step. Here we go.
I joined the John Birch Society.
Well, gosh, Tom, you got no problem at all. All you need to do is write a letter to the John Birch Society, Belmont, Massachusetts, 02178, and tell them that you would like to purchase for $2 a copy of the Blue Book. Tom, you read it, and I think if you're a dedicated American, you will agree with every word. Then you get in touch with me, and we may even sign you up.
Yeah, but it says here in one of your publications, not just anyone can be a Bircher. Now, how can I be a Bircher?
Not just anyone. Now, if you don't believe in the Constitution and limited government and free enterprise and biblical values of morality,
I believe in all those, but I don't believe there's a conspiracy.
He'd make a lousy candidate.
Well, Tom, you know, as a matter of
fact, he's not a member of the conspiracy. He's a member of the press.
Let me ask you. Mr. Braden's used for the 47th time the term conspiracy. Now, let me ask you seriously. When you use people like Casey, who is on the Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller's Trilateral Committee, Commission, what do you mean, or do you mean? Is that your term, the term conspiracy?
Well, there are many different levels of the problem. But yes, the term has been used, the term of conspiracy. When you have a group of people...
I mean, they're actively collaborating, and at the other end of that point of collaboration are communists, and on this end of the point of collaboration is Bill Casey and Trilateralists and CFO.
Al Haig.
You have people who are part of the elitist structure of this country that have dominated this country openly for 40 years.
I know, but they're not... Is that a conspiracy?
Now, wait a minute. If people quietly working together for evil objectives, two or more, that by definition is a conspiracy. You have, by their own admission, you look at The Tragedy and Hope by Professor Carol Quigley, who's a member of this elitist group. He says, sure, we've been working this. Sure, we've been collaborating with communism. Yes, we're working for a global accommodation. Yes, we're working for world government. The only thing I object to is that we have kept it a secret. And I think we have gone so far along, we should come out and say,
I'll bet you a dollar and a half that Bill Casey doesn't know who Professor Quigley is. I don't.
He's at Georgetown a number of years ago.
He died a couple of years ago, and he wrote The Tragedy and Hope. He's a very noted member of your club, Tom.
Tom, you've got to broaden your reading a little bit.
That's right. What I ought to do is read more about conspiracies, and that's why I'm interested in...
Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do is go back and look at your book, Edward Mandel House, because he wrote the book Philip Drew Administrator. And in this, Colonel House said that what he envisioned for the world was a world government along socialist lines as envisioned by Karl Marx. Now, that's your leader. Now, Tom, so you got to go back to the beginning.
Well, his leader was Woodrow Wilson. Do you think he was a communist?
No, I think Woodrow Wilson was his follower. I think Edward Mandel House dominated Wilson, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And so Edward Mandel House, that was we ought to make that clear. He was President Wilson's
alter ego. That's correct.
Yeah. So he is the real villain from which these conspiracies...
No. He is a major figure, Tom, but there has been, unfortunately, in the West, an element. There are good members in the Council on Foreign Relations, dedicated patriotic people. You've had Sproul Braden, who was a member of the Council of the Birch Society.
Bill Buckley's
and Council on Foreign Relations. You've got some dedicated people, but the driving forces have very clearly been willing to collaborate, subsidize, work for technology transfer for what they feel is some type of an accommodation and merger. And I submit this would be a disaster for the American Republic.
Are there any Congress?
Sure.
Our guest has been Congressman Larry McDonald of the John Birch Society. He's the new chairman. He's succeeded Robert Welsh, who has stepped down, as I understand it. Is that correct?
He's been sort of promoted to chairman emeritus.
Chairman emeritus and founder. And Tom Braden and I will be back with final comments in a moment.
Pat, I just want to tell you, I think some of the people who served in the Nixon White House are good, clean, upstanding, patriotic Americans. And some of them, on the other hand, are suspect. And I'm just going to have Larry McDonald, the head of the Birch Society, take a look at some of those people, and I wonder if he might find you.
Tom, where I disagree...
There's something going on here.
I disagree with Congressman McDonald is the idea of conspiracy with you and your friends. I think it's more of a herding instinct. The direction you've been moving in, inertia, carries you further and further. But I do think this. That slogan, get the U.S. out of the U.N. and the U.N. out of the U.S. looks better and better every day, doesn't it? Maybe they were ahead of their time on that one.
No, Pat, I think we got to have communications with the world, and the U.N. makes me mad, too. But I don't think it's a part of the great conspiracy which extends from Bill Casey and Al Haig all the way to communism.
Well, I think that Larry McDonald's a patriot. I think he's wrong about the conspiracy, but he's probably less wrong about what he says about this country than the guy I'm talking to.
Yeah, I think...
You see how they lie. I mean, on TV, on these shows. Dinah Sumalta know exactly about this conspiracy. And so this is a national TV show, Crossfire, with two Dinah Sumalta and Larry McDonald fended them both off, made them look like a bunch of numbnuts. You know, see, so this is how it really is. It hasn't stopped since, and it won't stop until Jesus Christ comes back. It's all leading to a new world order. Now, McDonald, died around September the 1st, 1983, a few months after this interview. And he was an American politician, member of the United States House of Representatives, and he represented the 7th Congressional District of Georgia as a Democrat. He was a passenger on board the KLA Flight 007 when it was shot down by Soviet interceptors and presumed dead. You saw how they went after him. He was known for his staunch opposition to communism and believed that there was a long-standing covert of efforts being made by the Trilateral Commission and other powerful U.S. groups to bring about the socialism and world government. He was the second president of the John Birch Society and also a cousin of General George S. Patton, another one of which they murdered because he wanted to go ahead and continue the war with communist Russia because he knew that we were going to go to war with communism anyway. And that's what I talked about yesterday about Korea being used. And the Council of Foreign Relations was responsible for all the deaths of World War II and Korea. The dried blood of both wars is on the head of the Council of Foreign Relations, as directed by the Vatican and the Italian Illuminati. That's how it really works. See, Larry McDonald was right about so much of what he's talking about. He possessed the foresight then in 1983, about the same time that Giafrida Reagan, another Knights of Malta, Oliver North, Knights of Malta, and others in 1983, Project Operation Northwoods, was getting ready to pull another military coup of the U.S. government by declaring a national emergency. It would suspend the American Constitution, and that's always been the plan. And that's how we'd get over it. There is no American Constitution. It's a facade. By the time people learn this, it's going to be too late. And the way they've always planned it, even back in the days of Lincoln, was to have a national emergency and then declare a dictatorship. I even have a quote from FDR concerning his attempt, March 4th, 1939. A military coup he'd put down, which was already planned in 1933. It didn't happen the way they planned on it. General Butler of the Marine Corps blew the whistle on him. Family, this is what's really going on behind the scenes. And even those involved, they're not putting the dots together at all. So the Council of Foreign Relations in our country is the bad guy, or the bad guys, just like Larry McDonald was talking about. And nobody are doing a thing about it. How important are they? Here they go.
Thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard just gave what could be described as a mini version of my remarks in talking about the issues that confront us. But I look out at this audience filled with not only many friends and colleagues, but people who have served in prior administrations. And so there is never a time when the inbox is not full. Shortly before I started at the State Department, a former Secretary of State called me with this advice: don't try to do too much. And it seemed like a wise admonition, if only it were possible. But the international agenda today is unforgiving. Two wars, conflict in the Middle East, ongoing threats of violent extremism and nuclear proliferation, global recession, climate change, hunger and disease, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor.
Yeah, Northwoods was earlier. I'm sorry. Rex 84 was Reagan's attempt at New World Order. And this is evidence during the 1983 interview.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the...
That was an interview during the Iran-Contra affairs. It was Rex 84 that that Reagan was planning his military coup. Northwoods was in the 1960s. Now, this is 1983-84, right? Well, Nixon in 72-74 had already planned his military coup, these rascals, with General Cushman of the Marine Corps, another member of the CFR. Now, you see, Nixon, February 12, 1972, signed the Executive Order 11647 in preparation for their attempt at a military coup in September. Executive Order 11647, later signed early 11731 to continue it, and then 11495. So by September 73, they were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew using a unit at a Los Angeles Police Department, one of the secretive intelligence groups within that police organization, that were Freemasons, that were trained by the CIA to assassinate, kill, destroy, and murder. Every major police department has one. That's correct. And they were going to assassinate Spiro Agnew at the Republican convention in San Diego that was supposed to be held there in September of that year. And then there were going to be bombings afterwards, blamed on the liberals who would take credit for it, and Nixon was going to declare martial law. That was the plan. Does Ferguson sound familiar? Anyway, so that didn't happen. Watergate was simply a symptom of it. Executive Order 11647, signed by Nixon, February 12, 1972, effectively divide the United States into 10 UN regional governments, with one governor and one UN administrator for each region. One region, five states. One region, five states, 10 regions, 10 governors, 10 UN administrators to receive the UN for the beginning of the North American Union. And they had that all planned. It didn't work. So they hid it in 1978, rescinded the orders, transferred it into Rex 84, Giafrida, FEMA, North, Reagan, all a lot of them. FEMA adopted Nixon's plan and called it FEMA regions, exactly the same plan. I've got FEMA Transition 2009. It matches perfectly with the order copy I have of Executive Order 11647. Exactly the same. To balkanize America in the 10 regions, five states each, and I'd say that's divided and separate us all. So now the states must separate from the federal. The states must pull themselves away from the feds and have their own state governments. See, they're going to have that either happening already or they got to do it, you see. And that way, it'll be easier to divide and separate when the states become sovereign again. We want to be sovereign of this evil American government. It's all part of the game, man. It's all part of the game. And the patriots will be taken hook, line, and sinker, lied to, and think it's a good thing to go along with the program, setting us up for a UN takeover. That's the purpose of all this. And it's going to be a military coup. A military coup. Now, Tom Brady, Pat Buchanan, or Knights of Malta, right? Pretending they don't know about the New World Order. Oh, yeah. It's almost funny. I mean, it's sad, but it's almost funny. But not funny, haha. It just boggles my mind how they could be that juvenile. Satanist. The whole dadgum lot of them. Liars to the American people. It's absolutely disgusting. Well, you think a military coup is out of the whack? Well, they were planning one, FDR was, in 1939. Actually, 1933. They were planning one in 1943. That failed to happen. Planned again in 1960s. Resulted in four major assassinations. JFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy. Tried again in 1972-74 with Nixon and General Cushman of the Marine Corps. Wasn't General Cushman supposed to be a patriot? He's our commandant, my commandant, because I was a Marine. They trained us to tell the truth. They trained us to fight for our country and to tell the truth, foreign and domestic. Domestic enemies are the Knights of Malta. CFR. The Illuminati. That's domestic enemies. But they control the government and they control the military. And our own generals, our own colonels, are members of these groups. Pretending to be patriots. Now they're demonizing, understandably so, and Obama's going along with it, like all the rest of them have, to play the part. Obama's a trained, pretend Muslim. He's really a Luciferian, like Carter and Bush and all the rest of them. Clinton, every doggone one of them. So they're playing their role and their part. That's how they do it to the American people. So he plays the evil guy. He does all the stupid things, like Bush was told to be stupid. Well, Clinton was told to be lustful. And now Obama's told now it's time for you to play stupid and play Muslim and all that. All this is played out, just like a reality game. So that you'll demonize and vilify Obama and support a military coup. It's called Hegelian dialectic. You don't believe me? Hey, watch this.
So things are getting nutty in D.C. and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution.
Who's a NASA Malta, by the way.
Praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. on a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny because he's really serious. And he's connected up with some like military people. He said this: there's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny, is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government. And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Oak, listed directly below the chair and the president, is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, what the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill. Period. It's not thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, good. He grabbed the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
See there? That's two Knights of Malta, Jerry Boykin and Rick Joyner, who are supposedly patriots and pro-American and all this, that, and the other. You see clearly how they know what the truth is, but they lie. Who are you following? You see, that's what I try to do, is expose as much of this as possible. I've got all the documentation necessary that I need to have. If anybody wants to challenge it, it's not a problem. I suspect, you know, and you say, well, how come you're doing it? Well, I'm a small guy. You know, I'm not a big time, whatever, tell you the truth. So I'm not really, I'm not in charge of any movement. I don't, I would if I could, but I'm not. So I'm not really a significant factor in their little plans. But I am exposing 100% truth. I'm going to tell you something else here. several places I found this. Why are they exposing a system that's broken? Why are they exposing themselves? Not on a park bench with a long raincoat. Well, not yet, anyway. So why are they exposing themselves? I can tell you why. Chapter 15, listen carefully how complex this really is. This is why Hegel is coming out, and allegedly from the reports that's being sent around, that he's exposing the New World Order. Okay, whoopee. Why would they be exposing themselves? Why would Rothschilds be saying, we are the bankers that control you? Nan, Hannah, boo-boo, we got you. Why would they be exposing themselves? I can tell you why. From their own writings. Chapter 15 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. What it does, listen carefully now. This is a little bit complex. But chapter 15 says, tells what's going to happen to all lesser beings, Masons, Jews, Christians, etc., when, quote, when we, the high priest of the Luciferian creed, at last definitely come into our kingdom by aid of a coup d'etat prepared everywhere for one and the same day. Now, here's the key. After the worthlessness of all existing forms of government has been definitely acknowledged, unquote. So they have to show you now where all the governments are just worthless. Greece, England, you name it. America. They want to show you how worthless a government is. And when you find out how worthless a government is, as it always has been, because controlled by secret societies, but it's always been worthless. But now they're going to show you this. They develop an Illuminati site, a website for Illuminati, secret society. They got a website. Ah. Now they're bringing out a Jesuit website. Oh man, they're really living it up, aren't they? Then they got Hegel coming out, you know, that he's resigning or fired or whatever for exposing the New World Order. Instead of having a plane crash or killing one of his children or him dying in a heart attack or something instigated by whatever. No, he's exposing us. Let him retire. You know, we're going to fire him. Instead of fire at him, we're going to fire him. You see, something's wrong here. Anyway, all right. They want you to know how worthless the government is. They want you to have the idea of a Ferguson going on, creating this chaos. They checked out the Bundy white on white bread on white bread going on there in Bundy Ranch. White folk fighting each other. Mm-hmm. Now they got the black folk and the white folk. And now they got something in New York City again. They're testing you out to find out how apathetic you are from the 8-step program I've talked about before. So I found the same thing somewhere else in an investigation that was done by Canada, 1920s. They found that when they found this corruption, they found evidence that they were going to have just enough evidence appear in the public, free press, to disgust the public. Quote, it gave the public the feeling that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change must be for the best. But there's no connection reported between the Illuminati and international capitalists who organized this conspiracy and subversives of the underworld who put it into effect. They want you to see how worthless, so you'll take the New World Order and love it. That's how they're doing it. I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to continue this with more exposure of what they're doing and their little tricks in the bag. And that's what we'll do the rest of this week. By George. The rest of this week, I'm going to continue this. I got a whole lot more to show you. And some more of their detailed plans. And I should continue till I can't do it anymore. But right now, I don't see that happening. But until such time, this next couple weeks, I'm going to move into the supernatural part and the extraterrestrial lie that they're going to shove at you. Because that will be the fake Jesus, Yeshua, that's going to be the crowning moment of glory that they're going to come at you with. There's a lot of Christians are going to fall by the wayside when that one happens. So when they see all the evil of the governments, here comes the fake Jesus, Yeshua, Sanan Emmanuel, the false prophet of the Bible. This is the whole purpose of what I'm talking about. It's showing you how close we are to the first seal being broken. They need all this to get you all out of whack to bring in the fake Jesus. It's coming. Well, family, got to go. Time's over. And so I'll be here tonight, 8 o'clock to 9. I'll talk a little bit more about the boondoggle, about the Sabbath that they're trying to shove at you, and some other things that I'm going to have for you. Bible study 8 to 9 on this watchmanforjesus.com. And then tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I'll continue what I'm talking about today. And some more evidence, more testimony, more proof from their own mouth. So y'all have a good night. And don't forget about highportradio.net and John Kirkler, who broadcasts us on a random basis on his network. We appreciate that. Highportradio.net. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook, come visit, is Watchman for Jesus. And why? Because it's all about Jesus. That's it. And the King James Bible. And they can't prove otherwise. And they won't. Until the falling away. And that will be their undoing. Because Jesus Christ is King. And there's nothing they can do to stop him. Family, we'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. Hey, y'all have a good night now here. And know that he's alive and he's coming back. That you can depend on. Have a good night. God bless. This is your Watchman, signing off.
Every day.